Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy path throughout the universe display, that saves my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art, that saves my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. It's good to be with you today. I was telling Brother Gary, I felt, if at all possible, it was my duty to try to be here. One, to see you all, and two, to be supportive of our two candidates who have asked to be baptized. It reminds me so much of the time that Sister Gladys and I were here, actually when we asked to be united with Bethel Washington Church. And it's a, I can say it's been sweet ever since then. Not that it hasn't been without its troubles and trials, but the Lord is, it's a great blessing. Amen. When one of God's little children exercise that obedience and that call for the Lord, indeed says, if you love me, then keep my commandments. And that we're thankful for. We ask and interest in your prayers as we stand before you for a few moments. I want to go to the book of Acts this morning. The eighth chapter of the book of Acts. And I'd just like to read a little section there. Pray the Lord might bless us with a few thoughts. Starting at verse 26. It's Acts 8:26. And it reads, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go towards the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and say, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Amen. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. what doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the river, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. You know, this story of Philip and the eunuch, what a great example it is for us as God's children.
Amen.
And we see in the beginning of that reading there that the Lord spake unto Philip, telling him to arise and to go south.
Right.
And Philip simply arose and went the way in which the Lord had sent him.
Amen.
And we think about that example there that Philip gives us of being obedient to the call or the sending and the direction in which the Lord leads his children as we sojourn in this dying world.
Amen.
You know, Scripture tells us very clearly that God doesn't change. This same God who speaks to Philip speaks to you and I today.
Amen.
The same God who unctions and moves Philip to go into a certain path, into a certain way, he's the same God that speaks upon our hearts today in the same very manner. We think of these two that have come before the church and asked to be baptized today. It is with that hope and trust that same Spirit spoke to their hearts and bid them to indeed come and unite with the church and indeed submit yourself into a baptismal and following that example that the Lord laid down for us in Scripture when he came to John the Baptist and asked John to baptize him. But the thing here, what I really love about Philip, Philip is, brethren, that example that we all should seek to follow. Not murmuring,
right.
Not questioning, not doubting.
Right.
Simply as the Lord bids and moves you to go, go.
Right.
Don't hesitate. Don't try to figure it out. Don't think about it. Just follow the Lord with all your heart. As Scripture lays down for us, trust in the Lord
right.
with all thine heart. Lean not upon your own understanding,
right.
but in all thy ways, simply acknowledge him.
Amen.
If we do that, brethren, Scripture is faithful. God is faithful. And in his word, he says, when we do that, he shall direct your paths.
Yeah.
You know, brethren, it's no like in Philip's response here, there's no doubting. There's no questioning. I mean, we see even Moses questioned to God when God wanted Moses to go down to Egypt. But Philip simply did what the Lord bid him to do. You know, in a few, I guess Brother Garrick could witness to this as well. You know, those few times that we're blessed to do what the Lord bids us to do, brethren, that is joy unspeakable.
Amen.
I mean, there's no words to explain what how God just simply lifts us up and carry us through journeys and situations that we never imagined that we could carry ourselves to.
Yeah. Amen.
The joy in that is that we don't have to carry ourselves.
Right, exactly.
Because we serve one who is able, brethren,
yes.
Not only to call, but to deliver us as well, not only in this time world, but in the world to come as well. That our precious Savior, brethren, oh, he doesn't just put that call on our heart to leave us lingering. Oh, no, he is with us every step of the way, and he will be with us every step of the way, even throughout the end of time.
Amen.
That is his promise, brethren. Not only to me, you, but to all of those that he loves. and those in which he loves, brethren, are as numerous as the stars in the heaven and the sands on the seashore. They come from every people, every tongue, every nation. God has a people, brethren, in which he has loved even before time was, as we know time to be today. You see, Philip arose and he went, and behold, there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch.
Yeah.
You know the beautiful thing. Notice the example that the eunuch gives us. Okay. The eunuch who has great authority, Scripture tells us, but he had just come from Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning home. You see the example that he gives us. What was he doing? What was he doing? He was reading God's Word.
Amen.
What a great example for us, brethren, that, okay, we go to church, we think it's enough. Okay, I went to church today. But that's not the example that the eunuch gives us here. He not only did he go down to Jerusalem to worship, but on his return trip home, we find him reading the Word of God. You know, I don't know how many people I've heard says, you know, I read the Scriptures, but I don't understand them. And so I don't read them. I mean, you know, I just don't understand, so I don't take time to read. You know, the eunuch didn't understand what he was reading, but yet he read it anyway. You know, brethren, I was thinking about an actual example that I was... Sister Gladys, remember that we were stationed, I was in the military, we were stationed in Turkey, the country, Turkey. And it came out this thing, and I decided I was going to learn how to run. Hadn't run since I've been in high school, and I did that because I had to. It's part of drills and sports. But you know, that first lap around the track, I think it was a quarter mile, I thought I was going to die. I actually thought I was going to die. I mean, that's how hard it was, naturally speaking, the first time. But you know, before I stopped jogging, I could run over 6 miles. But and never even felt the exhaustion I did with a quarter of a mile. That's a natural example, brethren. And why am I saying this? For those of you who says, well, I don't read the Scriptures because it's too hard and I don't understand it. Well, brethren, don't worry about understanding. God will provide that.
Amen.
We simply need to be dutiful and pick up God's Word as a eunuch did here.
Amen.
And read it. And God, who is the author of all understanding, will grant you wisdom in accordance with his good pleasure. We simply be obedient and be dutiful and follow the example, and the Lord will take care of you. He will take care of you. For the eunuch, he provided Philip. But do you understand here that God provided Philip for the eunuch? Okay, he provides ministers for you today. How many times have you tried or attempted to read something, didn't understand it, and you happen to be at a meeting and some minister just happened to speak on that very thing that you were reading that you didn't understand? God provides, brethren, whether it's through a minister or whether it's through the Holy Spirit. We simply go before that mercy seat and realizing that reading Scripture is not like reading a novel. So we go there and we go before that throne and we ask for wisdom. We pray that God will, as we go through the Word, that God would grant us with understanding that we might rightly rejoice in the good things of the Lord our God. that we would be blessed with an understanding of God's word as we read through it. You know, I've heard somebody says, "Well, I read like the Living Bible or the or some other. I'm not going to say watered down, which is probably a good word, but I won't say that word. But some other version that some other man has tried to come up with some kind of a natural explanation that you might naturally understand it."
Sure.
Well, brother, you don't want to naturally understand it.
Right.
I mean, there are things in there that are a benefit for us in time.
Amen.
But there are things in there, brethren, that the only way that we're blessed to get a spiritual understanding as to what God is telling us is through that spiritual ears that He gives us. And as the Spirit reveals unto us an understanding of that particular text, and then we're blessed. And oh, how rejoicing it is. Ask Brother Gary. Oh, how rejoicing it is when we gleam a page of Scripture, and all of a sudden, the Spirit just moves and it just jumps right out at you.
Amen.
And all you can do is say, "My Lord and my God."
Amen.
Oh, how joy! What a joy this is, brethren. Well, He blesses us all with that joy.
Amen.
When we earnestly take the time. And don't listen to the adversary and say, "Well, it's too hard."
Yeah.
But simply pick it up. Pick it up and start reading it. And that quarter of a mile will be a mile. It'll be 6 miles.
Sure.
And God will just open it up. And for you brethren that are getting baptized today, I remember, I shared it with Brother Dwayne before he passed away, but you know, there are texts of Scripture that I had read. I don't know how often I read them. And I thought I knew what it was saying. But you know, after this sinner went down to the water in obedience to the Lord, I remember opening up my Bible and says, "I don't know how many times I read this, brother, but I never saw it before." But the Lord opened it up. There are great benefits, brethren. There are great blessings in being obedient. It is not that this road is going to be an easy road. For truly, Scripture tells us that man born of a woman is but of a few days. But you're going to have full of trouble. You're going to have a lot of troubles because the adversary, the devil, brethren, will seek it to devour you.
Yep.
But don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged by that, because when he's seeking to devour you, you have a place of refuge.
Amen.
You have a strong tower. You have a mighty friend, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is your all in all. He will never forsake you. He will never leave you alone. He is faithful to his promise that "I will be with you always, even throughout the end of time." Our Lord is faithful, brethren.
Right.
Even though the adversary would want you to think different, our Lord has never forsaken one of his own.
Nope. Nope.
Nor will he ever.
Nope.
And they all, brethren, they all will be raised up to the glory of the Father on the last day. And he said that the place that he read Scripture was in Isaiah. And that Scripture that he read referred to our blessed Savior, who is like a sheep being led to slaughter.
Amen.
He was that perfect sacrifice. He was the Lamb of God. He was without spot. He was without blemish. You remember when he went down to the water to be baptized by John. What did John say? "Behold, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sins of the world." Your sins, brethren, your sins, my sins, all of the sins of all of those that God loved even before the beginning of time, he took them away. He was that lamb that the eunuch was reading about as Philip came up to the chariot and asked him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he simply says, "How can I?" You see, brethren, he couldn't understand what he was reading, but he was reading it anyway. Let that be an example, brethren, for us. You know, if you, If you thought we, which we do, I mean, sadly we do. We think we know too much, and we don't know that very much at all. When we're blessed and brought to the point of understanding that we really don't know,
right,
and that we really don't understand, then we can rightly see that revelation as a precious stone.
Amen.
Every time the Spirit reveals to us a spiritual truth in God's Word, we're blessed to rejoice, because we truly have been blessed to understand that without the work of the Spirit, brethren, there is no understanding.
It's true.
Without that work, brethren, we'll come away having looked at God's Word with natural eyes and think that we really understood.
Right.
And we don't have, when we're clueless, that we don't understand at all. But the joy, brethren, just as James tells us, he who lacks wisdom,
right,
let him ask of God.
Amen.
James doesn't, God's words doesn't tell us to go to somebody else to seek wisdom. It comes from above. It comes from the Lord our God. And what we're told as God's children, if you lack it, which means you don't have it, or which means you don't understand it, let him ask of God, and God will give it to you freely.
Amen.
And upbraideth not. What does that mean? It means God is not going to beat you up because you ask him for understanding. It also means that, brethren, if we ask God again, he's not going to beat you up because you asked him a second time because you didn't really understand the first time. God loves you. And the love of God, brethren, is spread abroad in the hearts of his dear children, brethren. Why is that so? Because it's God's good pleasure.
Amen.
That it flows that way. It doesn't flow because we want it to.
Right.
It doesn't flow because we work hard and try to love. We love, brethren,
right,
because he loves us.
Amen.
And that love is shed abroad amongst God's children in this time world. I love you all. Not because I've known you forever. Not because we grew up and went to school together. I love you because you're brethren. We're kindred, brethren.
Amen.
And our kinship goes far beyond our natural heritage. Where we were born and where we grew up has nothing to do, brethren, with the kinship that God's children have in this time world.
Amen.
When I think of my beloved wife, for instance, she will always be my sister. You know, there are certain relationships we won't have when we leave this world.
Right.
But there are certain ones that we will have.
That's true.
And one of those relationships, brethren, is that you and we as God's children, we will always be.
Amen.
God's children.
Right.
Whether in this world below or in the world to come.
Amen.
That fellowship, that kinship, brethren, is forever lasting.
Absolutely.
It will never cease to exist amongst God's children in our relationship with the Father. You know, Scripture clearly tells us there is nothing at all, neither life nor death,
right,
that will ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Amen.
So when we think of this passage, brethren, we think of the eunuch. We think of that scripture that the eunuch was reading about our blessed Savior, who indeed was like a sheep being led to slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, opening not his mouth. He went to slaughter, brethren, for you, for I, and for all of those God loved. That's why you went, to redeem God's children unto God.
Amen.
And without that redemption, brethren, we would have no hope. Without that redemption, our gathering would be without meaning at all.
Right.
But the truth of the matter, brethren, is that we do have the redemption.
Amen.
We have been redeemed unto God. Whether we feel like it or not, whether we understand it or not, there's great joy when we do. But because we don't, it doesn't undo it.
Right.
That blood, brethren, which was shed for you and I and all of those that God loved, was used to purchase us and redeem us unto God. And you see, they came and Philip, Scripture tells us that Philip, when he opened his mouth, he used that same scripture. And what did he do? He preached unto the eunuch Jesus.
Amen.
You see, brethren, Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Jesus, brethren, is your Savior. Jesus is the one who redeemed you unto God. Jesus, brethren, is the one who shed his precious blood for you, for the remission of your sins. You see, Jesus, brethren, is personal. You, me, we are servants, bond servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we come into that servitude, brethren, not by our own works, not by our own power, not by our natural heritage, but by the will of Almighty God.
Amen.
It was God's will, brethren, that Jesus indeed would be humiliated. It was God's will that he would be as a sheep led to slaughter. It was God's will, brethren, that he would be as a lamb dumb before his shearers. It was God's will, brethren, that this would be done. It is also God's will, brethren, that his children would come home. You think about it, brethren. This life we live is not about us. It's about our blessed Savior who paid it all. He paid the price. We didn't. We didn't have the unction or the want to. We didn't have the desire. But he did. He was obedient unto the Father. Yes, through all the humiliation, through all the torture, our blessed Savior was obedient. And he went to that cross, brethren, out of obedience unto the Father, because he knew that it was needful in order to redeem God's children unto God. He knew it was needful. He knew, brethren, even when he prayed in the garden, that if this cup could pass. He knew, brethren, that it could not be his will, but that the Father's will must be done. No matter how horrific that might seem, brethren, it was needful that it be that way. It was needful that the Father indeed pour out his wrath unto the Son to redeem us unto God.
Amen.
No matter how horrifying that picture might be, brethren, it was needful.
Amen.
It was the Father's will. So God's children, come home.
Yeah. Amen.
Come home. And there you will find rest. You will find rest in the bosom of our precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as they proceed to come unto water, and you know that eunuch was listening.
Yeah.
And that eunuch says, well, there is water. What hinders?
Sure.
I mean, the eunuch was moved by the Spirit of Almighty God. And he wanted to know. Yeah. See, here is water.
Right.
What doth hinder me to be baptized?
Right.
What hinders you? What hinders any of us? And Philip said, if thou believest, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Do you believe with all of your heart? If so, then there's nothing that hinders you. As Philip says, then thou mayest. Thou mayest come home and submit thyself unto the Lord our God. Understanding, brethren, that when we come because we have been bid to come.
Amen.
That is not a work. We're simply being obedient to the Spirit's call to come home. And it says, he commanded that the chariot stand still. And they both went down into the water.
Yeah.
Both Philip and the eunuch. And he baptized him. What a precious sight that was. What a precious sight that was. And it says, and when they came up out of the water, Philip didn't stand around boasting, did he?
No, he didn't.
Huh? Scripture says the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip.
Yeah. That's a good way to go.
His job has been done. What else did he say? That the eunuch saw him no more?
Right.
Well, what else? Look at that last little thing there.
Oh, yeah.
What did the eunuch do? He went away rejoicing. Rejoicing.
Amen.
Brethren, I truly believe that you, brethren, when you go down in the water today, when you come out, you will be rejoicing.
Amen.
To the glory of Almighty God. Why? Because God loves you. He loves you and he has touched your heart. And he has bid you to come. And you have been obedient to the Lord our God. My hopeful prayer for the two of you and your families is that this day, brethren, will be a beginning of days of rejoicing. A beginning of days of desiring and walking with your precious Savior. He who has redeemed you unto God. Blessed be the name of the Lord our God.
Amen. That was good. That was wonderful. Thank the Lord. That was time well spent. One verse that came to my mind. Verse 23 of John 14. Jesus answered and said, it's an answer to the question where Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou would manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Have you ever thought about what a blessing it is to be able to see these things, and what it is that the Lord would allow us to see it, and the world at large not to see that? And here in this 14th chapter of John, the Lord has told his disciples that you see these things because the Spirit of the Lord has allowed you to see them. and the world does not see them because they don't have it. Being overwhelmed with that, Judas, not Iscariot, this is the writer of the book of Jude, he says, brother James, he says, how is it, Lord, that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me. Now, if a man loves him, we know a man loves the Lord because the Lord first loved him. You love the Lord because he first loved you. You don't begin just decide one day I'm going to love the Lord. The world not only doesn't, the world, man by nature, doesn't stand neutral. The carnal mind is not neutral towards God. The carnal mind is enmity against God. So Jesus says the world hates you because it hates me. And he says that in John 14. If you love him, it's because the Spirit of Almighty God is giving you the gift of love, the fruit of love. Love is listed in the fruit of the Spirit, the very first ones. The fruit of the Spirit is love. So in order to love the Lord, you have to have the Spirit give you love. In order to have love, you have to have the Spirit. You have to have the Spirit given to you before you can love. You have to have life before you can love. So love can't bring life. Life in Christ brings love, gives you love to love the Lord with. He says, if a man love me, he will keep my words. That means in order to follow in commandments of, in the commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to be given the gift of life first. We don't keep the commandments to get life. We already have life. When he's worked that life in us, he's given us love, and then we're to keep his commandments. And that's an evidence that you love the Lord. You show the Lord that you love him. The principle of love is worked in you, but you work that out by keeping his commandments. If a man love me, he will keep my words. He will keep my commandments. And my Father will love him. If you just read this out of context, you got to get the idea, well, if I love the Lord, then he'll love me. And that's in general a lot of what the world teaches. You just love the Lord, and he'll love you. The Bible, though, teaches, as we see the entirety of it, we love the Lord because he first loved us. And he says, though, if a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. Doesn't mean God just begins to love him. It means he begins, he manifests that love. You feel his love. You know that he loves you. It becomes a part of your understanding. I can feel his love. It's a wonderful thing to feel his love. I believe the Lord loves his children, each and every one of them. But many of his children don't feel and understand that love. That's one thing the gospel does. It allows you to know how much the Lord loves you. That's what the eunuch found out on the road. He reading that scripture, being at Jerusalem to worship, the gospel being preached, he found out how much Jesus loved him. And he found it out so great that he said, here's water. What doth him to me? If he loves me so much and I want to love him and I want to keep his commandments, and part of his commandments was repent and be baptized, every one of you. And he said, he that in a man will love me, my Father will love him and give this. We will come unto him. That's the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and make our abode with him. That means we feel his presence. I need to feel his presence. I felt it this morning. Thank the Lord for that. It's not anything that we've done. Not anything we can do, but what he's done for us. When we can feel his presence. It is, that's how you can sing it, is well with my soul. We can't sing it well with my soul outside of the faith that's given to us by the Lord and the love we have for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that love was given to us by his grace, and it was shown to us here in his love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. It's all based in what he did for us at Calvary. I've certainly enjoyed all the preaching this morning that Brother John was blessed to do. And give the Lord that honor and the praise for that, but I'm very, very thankful. I love that passage anyway of the Ethiopian and Philip. Also mentioned Sister Joyce's with us on the phone. So I was very, very thankful for that, and I'm glad she was able to
came in that this morning. Does someone have a number? Is that the same number? Was it? Okay, what do we got?